Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. We praise God for being here in Jesus' name. Welcome to the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle in Jesus' name. Amen. We are so blessed to be here with you on Blog Talk Radio, on the Spirit Alive Network, on Facebook Live in Jesus' name. We praise God for each and every single one of you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We are being heard around the world in Jesus' name, and we praise God. Amen. Today we have a phenomenal topic today. And the one thing before I get started, I want to say this. We, as people of God and as people in general, we have to understand and we have to know that we know that we cannot be stopped when we're in Christ. Amen. When we're in Christ, we cannot be stopped. Amen. So this is the topic for today. Amen. As you are, if you're watching on Facebook Live, you see it on the screen. If you're listening to me on Blog Talk Radio on the Spirit Alive Network, today's topic, y'all ready for this? Today's topic is titled, Don't Hunt What You Can't Kill. Amen. Don't hunt what you can't kill. And this is a response from the people of God to the devil himself. Because the devil, he does hunt for us. He is a deceiver. He does, and there is actual scripture. There is actual scripture to show that the devil does try to hunt us down, and he does try to kill us. He tries to kill us naturally. He tries to kill us more spiritually. If he can get us away, the more he can get us away from the Lord, the better his chances of taking us out are. Amen? So today, that's what we're going to talk about. Don't hunt what you can't kill. Amen. If we could look into the scriptures, we will find in the Word of God where God encourages us to stand strong. The Lord encourages us to stand strong, not just stand strong in things, but to stand strong in Him. Amen. If we go to, I want to open up with a scripture today in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7 and verse number 8. Amen. And then we're going to go to John chapter 10, verse number 10 and 11. Amen. The Lord has commissioned me to do this topic on today because us as people, we go through life. We all go through life, and I say that all the time, and I say I came from, in my spiritual walk with Christ, I have leaders even now and past that are and was like a life preacher, and that are life preachers. What do you mean by that? What I mean by that is that the stock that I come from spiritually, my spiritual heritage, is where we I've been taught to use the Word of God for life now, to live the life, to live the holy life amongst people living in today's time. Amen. So we're going to look at this. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse number 7. And it reads, "Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." Now watch this, y'all. Verse number 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Amen. If we look at this scripture, it lets us know that if we look at these two, we look at the scripture in these two verses, it shows us that we're going to go through problems. We're going to go through issues. We're going to have tests and trials in our life. That's why the Bible says in verse number, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, it says, "Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." We're going to have cares. We're going to have tests. We're going to have trials. But all of these cares that we have and all of these needs, all of our desires, everything, we should cast our cares upon the Lord. Why? Because he careth for us. Amen. And the Bible, in verse number 8, as we read before, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now, this verse right here, some people in the church say that it says be sober. Does that mean physical? Some preachers say it's not physical soberness, it's a spiritual mindset. Well, when you look at it, it is talking about both. Because if you're physically sober, you're not drinking, you're not giving in to drugs and alcohol and stuff like that, you're physically sober and you're physically able to work for the Lord. Amen. Spiritually, we have to be spiritually sober. We have to, all of the things that would cause us to take our minds off of the things of God, to have our minds warped away from the things of God, we can't have our minds on that. We cannot have our minds on that. And that's the same thing with the natural. We can't have partaking in things that are going to corrupt our minds. Amen. It says be vigilant. We got to be strong in the Lord. We have to be careful. The Bible says be careful for nothing. Amen. We have to be so careful about what we do, where we go, what we say, how we live. And if we're not doing it for the Lord, it profits us nothing. If we're not doing it for the Lord, it doesn't mean a hill of a bean. Amen. Because your adversary, the devil, the Word of God clearly tells us who our opponent, who our adversary is. It tells us right there. It says, "Your adversary, the devil," which means he is opposed to what God has for you. But it is up to us to have the mindset to say, "Well, you know what? Whatever you bring at me, I'm ready for it." We got to have the mindset, I will not take down I heard a sermon one time that was preached by an elder, and it was entitled, the sermon was entitled, "I Will Not Take Down at a Time Like This." We as people of God, we cannot take down from the Word of God. The Bible lets us know that we must stand strong on the Word of God. We must believe in the Word of God. We must stand on it. We must live it. We must preach it. We must praise with it. We must pray in it. We must stand firm on the Word of God. Whatever God said, that's what we stand on. We do not take away from it. Amen. The Bible says stand. In the Word of God, it says stand. In Jude, in the book of Jude, it says contend for the faith. Amen. It's letting us know that, hey, we have to take a stand. And that's where we can get the mindset of telling the devil, hey, you can hunt me down, but you can't kill me. We actually, as people of God, we really don't taste death. We're not supposed to. Now, you might say, well, what do you mean? Because we see people dying every day, whether they be in Christ or out of Christ. But the people that, and the reason why I say this is because that the people that die in Christ, yes, they physically, their bodies physically die. Yes, we know this. But spiritually, they live. To die in Christ is gain. A person that dies in Christ has physically died, but not spiritually. They have moved from life to life. Amen? They've just transitioned lives. They have just transitioned. When it's just like a natural move. You're not homeless. If you're moving from one place to another place, you're not homeless. You're just moving your stuff to another house. You're not outdoors. Amen? You're just moving. There's an old song, I moved from my old house, and I moved from my old friends, and I moved from my old way of life. Amen? There's a house that is not created by man's hand that we're moving to. Amen? And that way is heaven. But we can only get to that if we stand on the Word of God. And the Lord is warning us in verse number 8 of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He is warning us. He is letting us know. He is giving us instruction in verse number 7. And at the beginning of verse number 8, he is giving us specific instructions on how to have the mindset of don't hunt what you can't kill. He's given us specific instruction. Now, let's read John chapter 10, verse 10, because there's special instruction in there. Amen? There's things that, there's warnings in John chapter 10, verse 10, because 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, well, mainly verse 8, coincides with John chapter 10, verse 10. Amen? Because in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says that the devil goes as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It didn't say that he devoured you, but it says it's seeking whom he may devour. Amen? And this is how he devours. It says it's seeking whom he may devour. Now, in John 10 and 10, it shows us how he devours us. Amen? Amen? It says in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came I am come that they might have life and that more, that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. These are the things that the devil does. He comes to steal, because the when it says the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy, the thief is the devil. See, he said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, it said, in verse number 8, it says your adversary, he's trying to overtake you. He's trying to steal everything from you. He's trying to take from you. But we have to have the mindset that we will not let that devour, that we will not let the thief come in and steal, kill, and destroy us. Amen. He wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal our peace. He wants to steal the victories that God has stored up for us. Amen. And if he can do that, then he can kill us. He kills us slowly. Amen. The killing of a person, sometimes people out here in the world are dying slow deaths. They're dying slowly. They're being killed slowly. There's an old song in the world that goes, "Killing Me Softly." This is a worldly song, but this is what the devil does. He kills you softly. He kills you slowly with things of this world, with manipulation. He uses vain words. Amen. He uses the scriptures. He twists up the scriptures just like he did with Eve. Makes it seem like, hey, God didn't say that. He tries to use, and what we're talking about today is encouraging people, don't fall victim to what the devil has set up for your life. Don't fall victim to it. Don't hunt what you can't kill. That is a strong statement. Amen? The reason why we can say that, the reason why we can have the mindset, the reason why we can have the tenacity, the spiritual tenacity, the reason why we can have the spiritual stamina to even say to the devil, don't hunt what you can't kill, because Jesus took all sins to the cross so we can live forever. Now, if you don't believe me, go to Matthew chapter 27. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 27 in verse 46. Matthew chapter 27, verse 26. Amen. And I'm reading from the King James Version Bible. Amen. I praise God for the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Amen. And it reads, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" What this verse is telling us, these are the words of Jesus. Jesus took all sin to the cross. He took every excuse to the cross. so that we might have light to the tree of life, so that we might have light to eternal life, if you want to call it eternal life, if you want to call it abundant life, life abundantly, whatever you want to call it. It's in the Word of God. To get to that abundant life, to get to that life, to get to that life, to life, you had to have your sins remitted. The Bible lets us know that the wages of sin is death. So Jesus said, I'm going to pay the sin debt, and I'm going to take the world's sin upon me. That's why we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he said, cast all your cares upon me. Not just the natural cares, but your spiritual cares too. I want you to cast them on me. He casted all your sins upon him. This is why he said in verse 46 in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's saying this because the Spirit of God left that body, because light and darkness have no fellowship. Amen. He felt alone. And when you are in sin, you are alone spiritually. You have no power to tell sin no. All of the sins of mankind were placed upon him, and he felt the sin weight upon him. That's why the Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset you. Because it's a weight. Sin can be a weight. And he felt that weight on the cross. That's why he cried with a loud voice. And God does, we read in I believe it's in, I think it's in the Word of God where it says sin in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah. I think it's either 58 or 59 where it talks about our sin separating us from God. Amen. The sin separates us from the Spirit of God. This is why the body cried with a loud voice, because the sin that was upon that body felt the Spirit of God leave that body. The natural felt just like we feel. Have you ever been in a place where you know that you are not where you should be with God, and you feel like, hey, I'm further, I feel like I'm too far away from God? That's the reason. That's why we have to be sober-minded, spiritually and naturally. That's why we have to be vigilant. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. When we receive salvation, we have to hold on to salvation like an iron fist. We have to hold on to it. We cannot let it go. I don't care what people might say. I don't care what friends might say. I don't care what family might say, whatever. I don't care if family don't want to go, don't hinder me. I used to say it as a little kid, and I still say it now. I love my mother and my father, but they cannot do me like Jesus. I love my sisters and my brothers, but they can't do me like Jesus. Love nieces and nephews, but they can't do me like Jesus. I love my wife. I love my children, but they cannot do me like Jesus. Because out of all of those people, I love my friends. I even love my enemies, but they cannot do me like Jesus. Nobody in that category of my circle, friends, family, doesn't matter. Nobody can do me like Jesus, because none of these people have been there for me like Jesus. Now, in my own personal life, the only one that, and I'm not going to say comes close to Jesus, but out of my mom, my dad, my sisters, my brothers, my wife, my children, my father has been there close to me for all 35 years of my life. Now watch this. Even though my father was there, there were some things that he was there. He was there. He was fathering me. He was being a daddy and everything else. But there are some things he had to even go on his knees and pray for that he couldn't bring me out. As much as strong as he was, and as strong as my father is, there are some things that in my personal life that he knew that he couldn't do. So he had to lean and depend on God. And there might be some people and some things in your life that are strong enough to help you out, that are strong enough to, you know, lend a helping hand to you, but there are some things in our life that not even man nor thing in this world can help you out of. You have to use the name of Jesus to get out. No man, woman, boy, or girl can help you. In certain situations, only God can help you. And God will sometimes allow us to be in those situations because God wants the glory. God wants to show you that, hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is all about me. It ain't about you. It's all about me. Amen? He took on the sin. He took on sin. Now watch this. Watch this. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. This sin that Jesus took on the cross, when he cried out, Eli, 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 lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt the sin that man carried. He felt the sin. Watch this. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. Let's see the sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Reads, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All of the sin weight by that one man, Adam. And I know I talk about this a lot. You might say, well, Minister Adam, you talk about that too much. You talk about the man who brought sin into the world too much. No. No. Because this sin, it was a heavy, heavy weight from the very beginning. And it increased as mankind, you know, got as generations waxed worse and worse. And then it got worse and worse. And in the time that we are living in now, it's worse now than it was back then. Amen? This is the sin that God took on. Well, you might say, well, Jesus died over 2,000 years ago. Did he take on my sin? Yes, he did. Even the sins of 2023, the sins that would be committed, done, he even took on those sins. He took on the sins of mankind for all generations. He stepped out of 42 generations just to die for the sins of mankind so that we might be able to have the mindset and the tenacity, the spiritual tenacity and the spiritual stamina to say, once we receive the Holy Ghost, to say, don't hunt what you can't kill, devil. Don't hunt what you can't kill. Amen. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, because I want you to see why God went to the cross. I want to show you in Scripture. Amen? And I want to give a little insight on that life to life. Amen? The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Through who? Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. What this means is for the wages of sin is letting us know what sin does. What is the payment for sin? It's death. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He took your place. He took my place. Every sin we've ever committed, he took our place. We were meant for death. We were meant for death naturally. We were meant for death spiritually. But we must come out of our sin, because if we do not, if we die in sin, we will see the judgment that God has for sin. Anything with sin on it will receive judgment. Anything with the residue of sin on it, at the end of the day, if God came back today, and if a man or a woman was covered with sin, they would receive the judgment. Amen. That's the reward for the judgment, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." And you might say, well, are they going to die a natural death? We at that point, it ain't even about a natural death. It's about the spiritual death that you must be, that is more horrifying than the natural death. The second death, which is recorded in the book of Revelation, which is if you have not received the gift of the Holy Ghost, or if you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost and you're not living and you're not walking holy and the rapture takes place, let me tell you, you will receive the judgment that waits for you. And the judgment is not per se, say, the natural death. It's the spiritual death. It's hell. And I know a lot of people don't like talking about hell no more. But me, look, if the Lord tells me to talk about heaven, I'm going to talk about it. If the Lord tells me to talk about blessings, I'm going to talk about it. But if the Lord tells me to talk about hell, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Because I ain't scared. I ain't scared of the devil nor none of his kin folks. This is why we must take on the mindset of Christ through salvation. Amen? You might say, well, how do I do that? So I can be set free from my sins. How do I take on the mindset? First, you must hear the word of God. The Bible does say, Romans, I believe it's either chapter 9 or chapter 10, and around the 9th or 10th verse of one of those two chapters, it says that you should confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. But that's not all of it. You can't confess something that you don't have. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. If you believe in your heart that Jesus was risen from the dead, if Jesus did it, the Bible says in Colossians 3:17, "Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." The Bible says, "Be holy, for I am holy." do whatever I'm doing. Jesus said, Jesus wants us to do whatever he did. Okay, we're not God, but we're to be like God. That's being a Christian. The Christian is being Christ-like. So if you're being Christ-like, you are to follow what Jesus did. Okay, Jesus said in his word to repent because all of what he went through on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, we are to symbolically do that. We are supposed to symbolically do what Jesus did. We are symbolically supposed to die out of sin, which is through repentance. And anything dead got to be buried, right? So we have to be buried, not just be buried, but we got to be buried in Jesus' name. Well, what is our burial? We go in baptism. In the Hebrew, I believe it's the Hebrew or Greek tongue, the word baptism is another word for baptizo in the Hebrew or Greek. Amen? This word means submerge. The word baptizo means submerge. What does submerge mean? Being taken under the water. Baptism is a form of burial spiritually. So we have the death, which is repentance, the burial, which is baptism, and the resurrection. The resurrection is you coming up in the newness of life, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. This is what it is. Amen? Then, after that, after you have received the Holy Ghost, then it said, well, we've established that we must take on the mindset of Christ through salvation. After we receive salvation, how do we take on the mindset of Christ? Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Amen? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It will show us how to take on the mindset of Christ. Amen? It will show us. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse number 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, not by the mercies of man, not by the mercies of Minister Adam, not by the mercies of Apostle Cook, not by the mercies of Bishop Carver, but by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And watch this. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy. It didn't say ungodly. It didn't say present your bodies any kind of way. It said present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now watch this. Verse number 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Well, why does our mind have to be renewed? Because old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Once you die out of sin, that sinful mindset dies with it. Amen? The sinful mindset dies with your sinful nature. Amen? So we see in the Word of God that the Scripture says, old things have passed away, death, dying out of sin, your sinful nature, your sinful mindset died. Behold, it all things become new with the renewing of your mind. You have a new mind. Amen? The Bible lets us know. In the Word of God, let's go to, wait a minute, let me finish this verse. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You now have stepped into the will of God. Once you present your body as a living sacrifice, once you have done that, you can then have the mindset with this renewed mind. You have the mindset to say, don't hunt what you can't kill. That's what it is. Amen. With this renewed mind, let me show you. And let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Amen. Let's go to Philippians chapter number 2. See, I love the Word of God, because the Word of God can show us how to live. Because I say it all the time, the Word of God is a life book. It is. It's a book of life. It is a book of life. Don't get it twisted. Don't get the Word of God twisted. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse number 5. And it reads, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Amen. This is showing us the mindset of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Verse number 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse number 7, but made himself of no reproach, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse number 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. Even the death of the cross. Amen. This, he was obedient even unto the death of the cross. This is the mindset that Jesus had. He's showing us what mindset we need to have. He died. He was obedient even unto the death of the cross. We have to be obedient to the Word of God, even if it means our very life. We have to have the mindset that I'm going to stand even when man won't stand, even when friends won't stand for the Word, even when people, even if the biggest name preacher walks away, I'm not going to walk away. I'm not going. If they want to walk, if they want to say, because I hear it all the time, oh, God's doing a new thing. No, you trying to figure out a new way, and there ain't no new way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. I'm just giving you Bible. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, because I want to give you a little bit more. I want to give you a little bit more. Amen. Give you a little bit more of what the Lord has given unto us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go to verse 16. Let's see what that says. Amen. If we have the mindset of Christ, then it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, it says, for who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, you can tell somebody about having the mind of Christ. If you're walking in the mind of Christ, you can tell somebody how to get to having the mind of Christ. Amen? Because there's a lot of people that think that they had the mind of Christ and don't. The Pharisees thought that they had the mind of Christ and they didn't. The Sadducees thought they had the mind of Christ and they didn't. Amen? They thought that they were spiritual, but they really weren't. Amen? That's why the Bible says, search the scriptures. All of these scriptures testify of, it said it testifies of me. It testifies of Jesus Christ. Every word in the Word of God testifies about Jesus. Amen. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Study to show thyself approved. Search the Scriptures. Amen. Salvation and holiness helps us to not be taken over by the devil. Salvation and holiness help us not to be taken over by the devil. It helps us. This is why we have to have salvation. This is why, how does salvation and holiness help us not be taken over by the devil? One scripture about salvation, Acts 1 and 8. The Bible says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have power. Power to do what? Power to live right. Power to talk right. Power to give right. Amen. You may not feel like praising him, but the Spirit of God that is on the inside of you, the greater that is on the inside of you, will help you. Amen. It will have you giving God praise even though your body says, I'm tired. It will have you living right even though you want to tell that person off. It'll have you backing up and say, all right, God bless you. It helped me on my job several times. Amen. There are times, I thank God, I don't think I told this testimony over the air, but with the Holy Ghost comes the voice of the Lord. You'll be able to understand when you read the Word of God. When you stay in prayer and in fasting, you start to understand the voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord, which is the Holy Ghost, will help you, guide you through life. Amen? The voice of the Lord will help you, guide you through life. It'll be that spiritual GPS that you need. Amen? It helps you. It helps us not to be not to be taken over by the devil. Amen. So many people in the church and out of the church are getting kicked around by the devil. Amen. They just standing there just getting smacked. They just letting the devil just do anything that they want to them. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. We have to live the life that God has called for us to live. Amen. And actually, I'm going to read that verse in its entirety because I want you to see that, Acts 1 and 8. I want you to see that. Amen. Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. To the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. This is what it's telling us. What does it mean to be a witness? You'll be able to testify. You'll be able to tell that Jesus is a keeper. That is where... let's go there. In Romans chapter 10, starting at verse number 9, it says that you shall be witnesses unto me in Acts 1 and 8. Watch this. This is what this is referring to. This is what Romans chapter 10, starting at verse number 9, is referring to. That if, and it reads, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now watch this. They leave out verse number 10 because a lot of people are quoting that verse and they'll say, oh, you've been born again. No, you haven't. No, it did not say you've been born again. It did not say that. Jesus said that that you have to receive the water and the blood. You got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. You got to have the water and the Spirit. In John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. It shall be saved. It didn't say you were saved. But once you receive the Holy Ghost, you are saved. You're saved from sin. And then you can, because verse number 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You're coming up to righteousness. Amen. You're coming up unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You're coming up to salvation. Amen. Once you receive the Holy Ghost, you have received the entire package. Amen. When you get a package in the mail, you don't want half the stuff. You want everything. You want everything that you ordered. You don't want, if you order off of Amazon, let's say you order five things, and you want all five of those things to be in that box, right, that you paid for. Amen? Jesus paid the sin debt for us. He wants us to have everything. Otherwise, his death would have been in vain if we don't receive everything. We have to receive. The Bible lets us know that we must be born again of the water and the Spirit. Amen. That's the full package, the water and the Spirit. The water is, and he gave us instructions in Acts 2 and 38, and these instructions go for generations. It started on the day of Pentecost. Amen? It started on the day of Pentecost. Those instructions started on the day of Pentecost, and it goes through generations because Acts 2 and 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Those were the instructions, to repent, to be baptized, and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Those are the instructions. And then in verse 39, and this promises unto you and unto your children and unto those that are far off, those that are many that the Lord our God shall call. That's what that means. This is what Jesus instructed all generations to do from the day of Pentecost up until now. Those were the instructions. And he said it. He said, look, I'm leaving these instructions for all generations that come after you. This is what I wanted you to do. He instructed Peter to preach the message before Peter preached the message. How do we know? Because it said in the Word of God, he was talking to Peter. He instructed his disciples in Matthew 28:19 to preach, to baptize, to preach to the nation in Jesus' name. But he gave Peter a special assignment. He was going to be the mouthpiece to salvation. He gave Peter a special assignment. Yes, he told all of the disciples in Matthew 28:19, because a lot of people think that, hey, this is salvation. No, it's not. That was the Great Commission. No, it's not. This is where a lot of Trinitarians believe that this is where the Trinitarians get the Trinity from. There's no such thing. There is no such thing as the Trinity. But there is a such thing as the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19 was the Great Commission. This is why we can say, having that mindset of don't hunt what you can't kill. If you don't have if you don't know the knowledge of God, you can be killed by the devil. This is the knowledge of God. He doesn't want us to be ignorant of his word. Amen. He does not want us to be ignorant of his word. So the word of God tells us. And not only did he give it to Peter, he told everybody, hey, look, I have no, he said in his word, he has no respect of person. Greater works than these shall ye do. Amen. He was talking to everybody. He was talking to his disciples, but he was talking to everybody through his word. And he told in his word, he said, to go ye therefore, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We know who the Father is. We know that it's Jesus. If we look in John chapter 1, verse 1, we know that God is the Word. God is the Father, right? Okay, well, God is the Word. Amen. John chapter 1, matter of fact, I'm going to read it in its entirety real quick to you. John chapter 1, verse 1. You might say, well, Minister Adam, why do you keep going over this and going over this? Because it's sound doctrine. It's sound doctrine. Amen. Let's read John chapter 1, verse 1, because this is backs up Matthew 28:19. Amen. There's three scriptures that back up Matthew 28:19 to show that Jesus was talking about his name. Amen. The Father is Jesus. Amen. And I'm about to show it to you for those that don't know, because the Trinitarian belief, and I'm not knocking anybody's belief, but I'm just giving you Bible and what it really is. You will not see three people in heaven. You will only see one. Anytime, and I've said this time and time again, anytime the Lord referred himself, he has never referred himself as two or three or four or five. He has always referred himself as one. There is one in the book of Ephesians. The Bible says there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There's only one that's coming. There's only one. In 1 Thessalonians, it talks about now the word rapture is not in the Bible, but the coming of the Lord is talked about. He said, and he didn't say them, he shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel. He shall descend from heaven. Not them, him. He, one. Amen. One person. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now watch the end of this verse. And the Word was God. The Word was God. Now, who is God? God is the Father. He is the Father. Now watch this. Let's drop down to verse Fourteen, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh. It just said the Word was, It said, in the beginning was the Word, God. If we look in Genesis 1 and 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? In the beginning. And then it went all the way from Genesis and said, in the beginning, God. Now it's saying, in the beginning was the Word. Okay, so who is it talking about? It's talking about God. God's the Father, right? Okay, we now know who the Father is. Because in verse 14 of John chapter 1, it says, and the Word was made flesh. What was that flesh? Was Jesus and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory, watch this, the glory as of the only begotten of the, what, Father, full of grace and truth. Father. He is the Father. Now watch this. You might say, well, how is he the Son? Let's go to Matthew 1 and 21. Let's go to Matthew 1 and 21. I love it. This is breaking down Matthew 28 and 19. Matthew 1 and 21. Amen. Matthew 1 and 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son. This is showing us who the Father is, right? Who the Father and who and what the Father's name is and who the Son's name is right here. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he, not two, not them, not they, but for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. It didn't say them. It said he. It didn't say he. It said he. It didn't say them. It didn't say they. It said he. Him. One. That's what I said. Anytime the Lord refers himself, he always refers himself as one. Amen. Now, you believe that Jesus is the Father, he's the Son. Now, let's go to John 14. John chapter 14. This wasn't even in the notes, but the Lord told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. John chapter 14. You might say, well, you wear those scriptures out. Well, because it's right there. It's right there in the Word of God. I don't think we ain't sugarcoating nothing. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 26. And it reads, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father, Jesus, will send in my name. Jesus is talking about himself. I'm going to send the Comforter in my name. See, God is the Father. God is the Son, and he is the Holy Ghost. Whom the Father will send in my name. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost in my name. The Holy Ghost is Jesus. The Holy Ghost is Jesus. Amen. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. It didn't say what they have said unto you. It said what I have said unto you. Jesus never, the Lord never referred himself as two and three individuals. Ever. Don't hunt what you can't kill. If you got the knowledge of God, the devil can't kill you. The devil cannot kill you. This is holiness and this is salvation. Let's go to Psalms, because I want to get this out. And if you have any comments, you are unmuted, and you can chime in anytime in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's go to Psalms 84. still talking about salvation and holiness. It helps us not be taken over by the devil. Psalms 84. Amen. I love the Word of God. The Word of God is true. I told you, it's a life book. It will teach you how to live life. It'll teach you how to live life. Amen. Psalms 84. Psalms 84. Psalms 84 reads, hold on, let me, Psalms 84 verses starting at verse number 9. Behold, our God, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thy anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shade. The Lord will give grace. The Lord will give grace and glory. Amen. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Amen. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusted in thee. Amen. This is the holiness of God that will help us. It shows us right here that he will be our shield. He said no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Amen. This means that he will be your protection. Let's look. You want to find out about him being a protector? Let's see what David said in Psalms 91. He talks about him being a protector in Psalms 91, starting at verse number 1. Amen. But we have to have the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost is a secret place. Amen. Being in Christ is the secret place. Why are we talking about the secret place? Because it says in Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisy pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrows that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Amen. In these verses, it is letting us know the power of God. If we are standing, we can honestly say if we are standing in the greatness of God, if we are under his shadow, if we are underneath the shadow of the Almighty, which is staying in the presence of God, in that secret place, which is having the Holy Ghost, we have nothing to be afraid of. This is why we can say, don't hunt what you can't kill. That's why we can tell the enemy, we can tell our problems, don't hunt what you can't kill. You're not this. Look, when we leave this earth, we might be naturally deceased, but we're not spiritually deceased if you died in Christ. You have moved from life to life. You have transitioned from life to life. Amen. I want to get some comments real quick Just a couple, one or two comments from Spirit Alive in Jesus' name. If anybody has any comments in Jesus' name, your mic is unmuted at this time. Amen.
Zeta?
Amen.
Anybody? Okay, I just wanted to double check.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. If we stand on what we believe, we as the body of Christ will not easily be taken over by the devil or things of this world. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 23, and I'm only going to read a few of these verses because we're now limited on time, but I want to get in some of these verses. And you can read the rest of these verses at your leisure. But in Proverbs chapter 23, starting at verse number, Proverbs 23, verse number 7, it reads, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Such as a man thinketh, so is he." Whatever you think you, whatever you think, that's why the Bible says we got to have a renewed mind. Because it is, now watch this. Why does it say what such as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he? The Lord was dealing with me on something. Our heart pumps blood, and we have something in our hearts naturally that is called a tricuspid valve. You are born with it. And if you are not born with it, you have to have a man-made shunt put in so that the blood can pump through your heart. Amen. And there was a surgery back in the day called, there was a heart surgery called ECMO that was done in, I believe, in the late 80s or whatever. And I had this personal surgery. I had it physically. And it helped my heart pump blood through, you know, going clockwise around my heart. And what the Lord did in me studying this topic, the Lord showed me in the spiritual, our spiritual heart, because the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. I hear people say all the time, "The Lord knows my heart." Yes, the Lord knows your heart. That's why he tells us that the heart is desperately wicked. And the Bible also states that he will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. Why is the heart stony? Because the heart is stone because of the sin that you came in with. And so we need our hearts to pump with our spiritual hearts to pump with the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus in our spiritual bodies pump the spiritual blood, God's blood through our spiritual mindset to help us navigate. The blood that pumps to our brains, through our bodies to help us move in the natural. It helps the blood of Jesus helps us navigate spiritually. When the blood of Jesus pumps through our spiritual life, through our spiritual mind, through our hearts, through our feet, then we can live godly. Amen? We can live godly. Amen? In Philippians 4, in Philippians chapter 4, amen? Let's go there real quick because I said I wanted to read a couple of these. You could read the rest of these at your leisure. If we don't get through all of them, I'll say them and then you can read them at your leisure. Amen? But in the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4, verses verses 8 and 9. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse number 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. When you take on the mind of Christ, you will have a peace of mind. Your feet will be shunned with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Bible says put on the whole armor of God. You know why the Bible says put on the whole armor of God? Because when we have the mindset of Christ, the mindset of Christ can be tainted with if we allow the enemy to taint it. Our hearts can be made flesh. God can take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. But if we allow the enemy to hit our hearts, it can be turned back into a heart of stone. It can be a stony heart again. That's why the Bible says put on the whole arm of God. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shown with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. Taking the shield of faith and taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is why we have these things. Amen. Amen. In Jude 1, I want to read that real quick because I want to show you something in Jude number 1 when it talks about faith. We need faith. When we were talking about the armor of God, putting on the whole armor, one of the things is the shield of faith. This is why we need the shield of faith. In Jude, verse number three. Amen. Well, it says starting at verse number two, it says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. But it can only be multiplied if you have on the armor of God. If you've been renewed, if you've received salvation, and you have a renewed mind, your mercy and peace and love will be multiplied unto you. But it can only be multiplied as you go forth in life if you have on the armor of God. Why? Because in verse number 3 it says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye shall earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith of God, what we believe, whatever God has put in his word, that's what we need to stand on. We must earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly, we must continue this race. Hold up the blood-stained banner until we die. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith. Because that faith, if we earnestly contend for the faith, Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. The evidence of things not seen. Amen. This is what we must do. This is where we must go. If we want to earnestly be Christ-like, if we want to be a Christian, we have to do these things. We have to pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Amen. To keep the mindset of don't hunt what you can't kill. We have to be on guard every day. Even in our sleep, because sometimes the enemy attacks us dead in our sleep. Do you know that you can be so spiritual minded that you can pray in your sleep? You can be so in tune with God. I have seen it. I have done it. I've seen it. I've seen people do it. I remember, and I'm going to say this testimony real quick, and then we're going to wrap it up. But I literally, one time I had a surgery. It was an ablation procedure on my heart in 2010. And the doctor, after my surgery was over, they said, you know what, when we put you under anesthesia, we had told you to count backwards from 10 to 1, but you started praying. And the doctor said, when I walked back in the room, you know, when you were in your room, you woke up praying. You woke up praying. You didn't, he said, I guess you were praying in your sleep because you kept mumbling while you were asleep. You can pray in your sleep. You can be that so in tune with God that you can pray in your sleep. Amen. When we study the Word of God, study to show thyself approved. We should always be in the Word of God every day. Just as you eat daily, you should be in the Word of God daily. You eat naturally daily, you should be eating spiritually daily. Amen. I don't care if it's a verse. Hey, look, you know how we go to fast food or whatever to get a quick meal? You can open up the Bible real quick, amen, and you can read a quick verse and get your day started. You know how we have breakfast? Some people have big breakfasts. Some people have little breakfasts. We can get a quick meal, amen, and meditate on the Word of God. That's what that Bible says. Think on these things. Meditate on the Word of God. Amen. This will keep you. This is why we said salvation and holiness helps us to not be taken over by the devil. This will help us. Amen. I pray, and at your leisure, please read Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. And then in Isaiah 26, chapter 26, verse number 3. Amen. I said that I was going to quote the scriptures that we did not read on today, but I wanted to hit those points in this lesson. Amen. I didn't get to hit all of them. I think I missed like two of them out of the whole lesson. So I think Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. And Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3. Amen. But those are the only two verses that I did not get to hit on today. But I thank God for the Word of God. I thank God for being able to come again just to be able to teach this lesson on today that the Lord has given us to teach on this radio broadcast on this afternoon. Amen. I praise God for each and every one of you. I pray that you have a very, very blessed rest of your weekend in Jesus' name. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week coming up on Monday. Amen. Starts a new week, but I thank God for each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, God bless you. I love you. And as it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God bless you. I love you. And until next Saturday, should the Lord say the same, God bless you. I love you, and as my grandmother used to say, and this is for people on Facebook and people on the Spirit Alive Network on Blog Talk and on Blog Talk Radio, amen. If you don't hear my voice again for the people that are on Spirit Alive, and if you don't see me again for the people that are on Facebook, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
And God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.